Well, today is a special day because of the count toward Pentecost. So let's come to Leviticus 23. Let's look at that again. And then we will see the events that took place when they came to Mount Sinai. Leviticus 23. Now, we covered it last time concerning counting 50 days and so forth, so we have that pretty well understood. Okay. Now, here's something interesting, is that the children of Israel, all during the 40 years of wandering, they didn't eat any bread or grain. They had manna. And we find something here that's very interesting concerning this day, as it leads up to this day, okay? Let's come here to verse 10, and here's the day after the weekly Sabbath during unleavened bread. And here is what was to happen. Now we will see that it starts off the 50-day count with a wave sheaf offering, and then it ends up the 50-day count with another different kind of wave sheaf offering. So he says here, verse 10, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have come into the land which I give you, you shall reap the harvest of it, and then you shall bring the premier sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. Now that is a symbolic type of Christ being accepted by God the Father and ascending to heaven on the wave sheaf offering day, which is the first day of the week. And then it says what you're to offer on that, verse 12, and so forth. Now come down here to verse 14. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor green ears until the same day, until you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Now, it's recorded in Joshua 5, that sure enough, when they got into the land, and it was the Sabbath after the Passover, they had the wave sheaf offering, and the next day, the manna stopped. So then they were able to eat first time. Imagine that. Now remember, all those who were over 20 died for their sins while they were wandering in the wilderness. So here you have children now who have grown up. Now they're what? Anywhere from, if they were 1 year old, and anywhere from 41 years up to 60 years, who had never tasted bread. Can you imagine what that would be like? Huh. Then he shows how they were to count. Now, there's a reason why it is successive, why they were to count seven Sabbaths or complete weeks. And then it says, let's read what they were to do afterwards, and we will see that it is a continuous time period, and that's the whole thing that we need to understand, which then is symbolic of the time from the resurrection and acceptance of Jesus Christ until the resurrection of the saints. One continuous time span, not interrupted. Now, verse 16. Even unto the day after the seventh Sabbath, you shall number 50 days. Well, today is day 49. And so, since there's so much to talk about on Pentecost, I'll talk about some of the things of Pentecost today, and then we can finish it up tomorrow. And it says, continuing now, and you shall bring a new grain offering to the Lord. Now, here's something that's very difficult for some people to understand. And that is because during the days of unleavened bread, leaven is a type of sin. All right. Now notice what he says here. You shall bring out of your homes 2 wave loaves. Now they were to bake these loaves of bread of 2/10 parts. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. Every other offering except the peace offering had to have unleavened bread. But here, this is leaven. Okay? They are the first fruits to the Lord. Now, why do you suppose he said to put leaven in it? Okay? I'll save that for tomorrow. How's that? Okay? Because it has to do with something to do with the resurrection. All right, let's come over here to Deuteronomy 16, and let's see another description of what we have here concerning this feast. And then we will go back and see what happened on this first Pentecost with the children of Israel and Moses and the time leading up to it. Deuteronomy 16. Now, Deuteronomy 16 is interesting because it doesn't say count 50 days. So this is another reason why when studying the Bible and putting it together, you have to have a little here, a little there, and you put it all together. And you can't have one scripture fighting against another scripture. So what you do is you combine it together. All right, Deuteronomy 16, verse 9. You shall count 7 weeks to yourself, to yourselves rather. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time you first began to put the sickle to the grain. And you shall keep the Feast of Weeks. Now it's called the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of First Fruits. When we get to the New Testament, it is called the Day of Pentecost or the Feast of Pentecost. And Pentecost means 50th, and another derivative of it is count 50. So the New Testament feast connects back to the Old Testament feast. And when we put them all together with the New Testament, then we have the understanding of the feast day. Keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God, to the sufficiency, according to the sufficiency of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give according as the Lord your God has blessed you. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, and your male servant, your female servant, and the Levite within your gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, and those among you, in the place which the Lord your God has chosen to place his name there. Well, in the New Testament, wherever 2 or 3 are gathered together, Jesus says, there he is in the midst of them. So that's a place that God has chosen. A little different than what it was back then, because on most of these major feasts, with the exception of the Passover, they were to come to the temple to keep them. Now, let's come back to Exodus 19. Exodus 19. And we're going to look at what happened here when they finally got to Mount Sinai. Now, there's also another connection, Old Testament and New Testament. Old Testament, the firstborn were spared on the Passover. New Testament, Jesus Christ, the firstborn of God, was then sacrificed to save the firstborn church. Now, when they left Egypt, it took them 7 weeks to get to Mount Sinai. And they got there on the same day of the week as verse, and I'll have Mike Heiss give a sermon on that next time we meet down there, when I come down, on how do we know the same day, Exodus 19 and verse 1, is the same day of the week. And the same day of the week means since the Exodus began after a middle-of-the-week Passover, this means that it is on a Thursday. So then you have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then you have the first day of the week. So we have 3 days involved in here after the day that they arrived. So when they arrived, they camped, verse 2, in front of Mount Sinai. And we'll see there's a parallel with that tomorrow concerning Mount Zion for the resurrected saints. So there are many parallels, type, anti-type, Israel, church. Verse 3, now Moses had to be pretty strong, you know, to get up and down that mountain. As he went up and down that mountain quite a few times. Verse 3, Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You've seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. They had to walk all the way. The eagle's wings was a type of protection. Now therefore, and verse 5 becomes a key verse in the whole Bible. Because every time God deals with people, beginning with Adam and Eve, the same thing. Not only with the children of Israel, but also with us. So all the way through the whole history of the Bible and the teachings of the Bible contained right here in verse 5. Whether Old Testament for the children of Israel, or the covenant with Abraham, because it says he obeyed his voice, or the New Testament church. Summed up right here in verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now here's something else that God always does too. He gives you an outline of what he wants you to do. And you agree to it. Now what did he tell Adam and Eve? He told them, live in the garden, dress it and keep it. You may eat of every tree of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Correct? What happened? They disobeyed, right? Yes. Then you come on down to Abraham's time. Let's just hold your place here and come to Exodus 12. Not Exodus, but Genesis 12, beg your pardon. Genesis 12. Now let's see the simple proposal that he gave to Abraham. And this is how God always does things. He gives you a simple proposal and outline. Okay? And we will see that he has a simple proposal for the New Testament as well. Genesis 12 and verse 1. And the Lord said to Abram, now here's the proposal, contained in just three verses. Get you out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, into a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and curse those that curse, who curses you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now how much does that tell us? Well, it gives us an outline, doesn't it? You know, like they say, the information is in the details. That came later. All right. What is the proposal in the New Testament? Well, I have it in that evangelical Bible that I had, which is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him may have everlasting life. And may not perish. Well, isn't that a proposition that every human being wants? Even as we get old, how many want to die? Well, you really don't want to die until it gets right down to the last of it and there's no other alternative. And then you say, okay, I'm ready to go. Now, just the other day, Rochelle had her 36th birthday. And the day before, she told Jeremy, I'm going to be 36 tomorrow. And he said, are you going to get old, Mommy? And so the next day, okay, in order to make her teeth look real old and messy, she got some pizza dough. And then she put some powder on her face. And then she took an eyebrow pencil and put some deep wrinkles on it, you know. And she went to sit down to do her work because she does all of her work at home, working for my other son, David. You know, work at home, that's better than working out. Okay. So she's sitting there working away, and Jeremy comes up, and he looks at her. And he started crying. He said, Bobby, what happened to you? Well, you asked me if I'd get old. So it's the same way. She didn't tell Jeremy what she was going to do. Okay. God gives us a general framework. All right? Now, God's plan was to give to Israel his laws, his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, and they were to teach the whole world. Because God also cares about the whole world. But since he decided to work through Abraham, then Isaac and Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel, now comes the fulfillment of the plan for them. So it's just like a marriage proposal. Isn't a marriage proposal a very few words? Will you marry me? Yes. All the details come later. Right. So that's what this is. This is actually a marriage proposal, as we will see. Verse 7, Moses came, called for the elders of the people, laid before them all the words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. All right, they said yes. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5 about your yes? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So they said, yes, we'll do it. And they had no details, did they? Just like with Abraham when he was called. He didn't have any details. Just go. Likewise with our lives. When God calls us, we don't know where it's going to go or lead to because we have to walk in faith. And all the details come later. And Moses returned the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, lo, I come to you in a thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said, go to the people, sanctify them today, tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes and be ready on the third day. Okay, so that's what they did. So they got everything all ready. Third day was Pentecost. For on the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. So when that began to happen here, let's come down here to verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning. Now here you go. Just think you're an Israelite. All your clothes washed, the best you could do in the wilderness, you know, and all that sort of thing. Shows they had to have quite a bit of water near at hand in order for them to wash all the clothes, you see. They bathed themselves, washed their clothes, they were all dressed up in their Sinai best, ready to meet God. You wake up in the morning, and here's a beautiful day, nice sunrise. Moses gets you together and says, all right, everybody come up, base of the mountain, and here are the borders, don't go through it. Then all of a sudden, here comes these dark, dark clouds coming down upon the mountain. Okay? And it came to pass in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain. So they're all standing there looking at this. And it says back in Hebrews 12 that there was a whirlwind with it. So here they are, all this noise, seeing all of that. And you know, with dark clouds and lightning and thunder, I don't know about you, but that really sends shivers down my spine. Remember one time we were chasing down a highway to avoid a tornado, and it was so black and it was so dark, and the black top road with hardly any lines on it, I couldn't see where I was going, and we were out in the middle of nowhere. We had the radio on. We were listening, where is the tornado going to come? He's going to be in this county, in that county, in that county. I'm from California. I don't know where they are. And Jonathan and David were just little kids at that time, and so a car passed me, and I said, that's it. I'll just follow him. So I stayed right with him until we got to a small town, a motel, and we all jumped out and got in a motel. You know, I didn't crawl under the bed, but, you know. Okay. Well, so imagine what this is going to be like. Okay. And then after all of that happened, and the sound of the trumpet. Now, we're going to see on Pentecost tomorrow that there is a sound of a trumpet on that day for the gathering of the people of God. So you see, you have these parallels, one with the other. The sound of the trumpet was exceeding loud, so that all the people in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the base of the mountain, and Mount Sinai was smoking, all of it because the Lord came down upon it in fire. So here's God coming down upon the mountain. Now, I don't know if there was like kind of volcanic ash falling down or if there was lava falling down. I have no idea. But that's kind of the picture that I get. And the smoke of it went up like the smoke of a furnace for the... And the whole mountain quaked greatly. So here, all of this is going on. See, now all of us who live in California, we're used to earthquakes, aren't we? And when you have an earthquake go on and on and on and on and on and on, now add to that the sound of the trumpet, add to that the lightning, the thunder, add to that all the other people, everybody's scared to death, as it were, and here, God has come to meet them. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called to Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. There he goes again, you know. And the Lord said to Moses, go down, command the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priest also who come near the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break through upon them. And Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you commanded us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and sanctify it. So the Lord said, away, get down, and only you shall come up to me, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priest or the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. And Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. Now, that's the scene for the receiving of the Ten Commandments. Now, you would think, now, how many here remember traumatic events that happened in their lives? All of us. Would you say this is a traumatic event? You would think they would remember it. That's why God did it this way, so they would remember. Well, all you have to do is go to Exodus 31, when Moses was up on a mountain for 40 days receiving further instructions. What happened? They forgot all about it and had Aaron make the golden calf. Makes you wonder what his occupation was in Egypt. All right. So God spoke all the Ten Commandments. Now, you go through the Ten Commandments, and they, you know, that's the basis of everything in relationship with God. You can go through from here, Exodus 20, back forward to the very first part of Genesis, and you will see all the commandments were in effect. for you can't have one without the other. Now, there's some people who like to pit one commandment against another, but you never should do that. All right, let's come down here to verse 18. Since you've all memorized the Ten Commandments, I won't go through it. I'll just have you repeat it after services, that's all. All the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the sound of the trumpet, the mountain smoke, and when the people saw, they trembled and stood far off. And they said to Moses, "You speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to prove you, so that his fear may be for you, before your faces, so that you may not sin." And the people stood far off, and Moses drew nearer to the thick clouds where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I've talked with you from heaven." Then he starts giving other laws, starting right out the very first thing, what? "You shall not make me gods of silver, nor shall you make gods of gold for yourself." The very first thing. Remember what it was? "If you will obey my voice." So that's the platform. That's what God gave. Now, I want you to read through Exodus 21, 22, and 23. And I want to ask you a question as you go through. Do not all of these commands relate to loving your neighbor as yourself? Yes. Every one of them. So people who say, "Well, the Old Testament's done away and so forth. We don't have to follow it." Well, let's just take one right here. Chapter 23 and verse 1. And this sounds like some of the things we suffer with today. Verse 1. "You shall not raise a false report." What do most of the news give us today? "Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness." And then all the way through shows those commands. Now, let's come over here to chapter 24, because we're going to see, just like with a proposal for marriage, there are the words of the covenant, and all these words from the Ten Commandments and all the following words, chapter 21, 22, and 23, are all part of the covenant. Now, when we come to chapter 24, then you have to have the sealing of the covenant. So let's see how that came about. Now, remember, the Ten Commandments were given on Pentecost. These other things, these other three chapters, were probably given later on the same day. Moses came down, told the people, and here's the last instructions that God gave Moses, chapter 24 and verse 1, as he was going down. And he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people come up with him." And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and the people answered with one voice, "All the words which the Lord has said, we will do." Now, just like with the marriage ceremony that we have, we go through all the requirements for the marriage ceremony, and then we get to the end of it, and we say, "Do you, the man, take this woman, whatever her name is, to be your lawful wedded wife, you know, to love her, to provide for her, etc., etc., until death do you part? I do. and to the wife, do you take so-and-so to be your lawful wedded husband, etc., etc.? And she says, I do. All right, so here we have here. People all said, we will do it. Now then, there's a written testimony. Just like when you have lawful marriage, what do you have? You have a marriage license. You have the date that it was given on. You have witnesses to verify that this was done, correct? Yes. So this is what God is doing here. Verse 4, Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, rose up early in the morning, built an altar at the base of the mountain, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of bullocks to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood, put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant, because that's what it is, all these words, 10 commandments, chapter 21, 22, and 23. Those are the words of the covenant. And read it in the ears of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. Now, when there is a covenant, there has to be a sacrifice and the shedding of the blood. There has to be the proposal. There has to be the acceptance. God accepted the children of Israel. The children of Israel accepted God. Here are the words of the covenant. They said, we will do it. Now we're going to ratify it with the sacrifice and sprinkling of blood. Verse 8. Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant. Now we'll see a parallel in the New Testament in just a little bit, which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. Now then, God wanted to make sure that there were witnesses to verify that this was God. So notice what he said. What happened here? Verse 9. And Moses went up, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel in his outline form. Okay? So we know this could not be the Father. Because the New Testament, Jesus said, no one has seen God at any time. Okay? And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. Anybody have a sapphire ring or thing under? Okay. So it's light blue, but you can see through it. Sapphire stone, as it were, the heavens in clearness, so they could look right through that. Now, this was an additional witness for the people to know that these men actually saw God. Not direct face-to-face as Moses did. Verse 11. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he did not lay his hands. They also saw God and ate and drank. So there was what? There was a covenant feast. Okay? Now this was after Pentecost. Now we'll see the parallels tomorrow concerning the first resurrection and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay? There are the parallels right here. Verse 12, and the Lord said to Moses, come up to me in the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, so that you may teach them. And Moses rose up and his attendant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. So apparently, Moses, Nadab, Abihu, And the 70 elders of Israel came up far enough so they could look up toward the top of the mountain and see this paving like a platform where God was. And they could see through it, and they could see the similitude of God. What a tremendous blessing and witness, you know. When they came down, they should have all said, yes, this is true. Yes, we saw God. Yes, this is tremendous. Just think what the world would have been like if they had have done that. Quite a different place, right? All right. And he said to the elders, you wait here until we come again to you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a cause, let him come to him. So Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And he said, come up here, Moses. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went up into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now then, we see another thing mentioned here, which ties in to the Feast of Tabernacles. First thing that God told him after they all agreed, he said, okay, that's fine. Now here's what I want you to do. He started giving them the instructions to make a tabernacle. All right? And so that he would have a place to dwell with them. Yes, verse 8. Chapter 25, let them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them. That's quite a thing, isn't it? Now, in the New Testament, spiritually, with the Holy Spirit, God is not with us, he's dwelling in us. Do you see how everything in the New Testament then is raised to a higher spiritual level? Okay. So they had the marriage proposal. They had the words of the covenant. They had the ceremony. They had the sprinkling of the blood. They had the witnesses. And then God said, okay, I will dwell among them. Now, we'll see some of these things in the New Testament here in just a little bit. So let's go ahead and we'll take a little break and we'll come back.